This is Scott Becker with Becker's Healthcare. We have a very special podcast today on talent, recruiting, retention, human resources, et cetera, from two great leaders from Novant Health. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Vaso Paramenas and Karen Power. We're going to talk a number of issues around hiring, talent, et cetera, one of the most important subjects in business and in healthcare today. Vaso and Karen, let me stop for a moment and ask you to introduce yourselves.
Sure, Scott. Thank you. I'm Karen Power, Senior Vice President of Talent for Novant Health. I'm the architect and the designer of our talent strategy that drives our organizational performance. And currently, I lead the learning and development team, our talent acquisition team, total rewards team, and our business HR, which is our HR business partners. And I've got over 25 years of leadership experience in operations and human resources.
Yep. Thank you, Karen. And Vaso?
Yep. So good afternoon. My name is Vaso Paramenas, and I currently lead the HR technology, analytics, and service experience capabilities as the Vice President of HR Operations. I've worked in healthcare and HR for over 25 years, and most recently I've been employed by Novant Health for the last 10 years. It's my pleasure to participate in this podcast.
Well, thank you very much. And just to set the stage for our listeners, Vaso or Karen, could you give us an approximate number of employees in the Novant system today and just a little bit of scale or scan of the Novant system?
Yeah, sure. So currently we have almost 30,000 team members. We are headquartered in North Carolina. We have a four-state footprint that includes North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, and South Carolina. We are considered an integrated healthcare organization. We have physician clinics. We have outpatient surgical centers, outpatient imaging centers. And, of course, we have our acute care hospitals.
So literally 30,000 employees, that must be so much different than when you both joined the system. Just amazing. And I know you call them team members, not employees, so bear with me. But tell us a little bit about hiring and human resources today and what that looks like today in such a large system.
Sure. Well, needless to say, there has been a lot of change that has occurred and continues to occur. I would say that we operate in a challenging legacy industry that is being affected by the digital vortex. We've got digital disruption that we're challenged with. We have increased consumerism. We have consumers who are demanding the highest quality and the highest safety at the most effective cost. We have sicker patients or higher acuity patients. We have increased competition from non-traditional players like Walmart and Amazon, as well as legislative changes. So, really, to sum it up, I would say the way we work and live is changing at an unprecedented rate.
And on top of that, Scott, there's the unrelenting competition for talent, which is the only differentiator that organizations truly have. Everything else can essentially be copied over time. Our talent is expecting more from work. Just as Vaso said, the way we work and live is changing, and it's changing quickly. Our talent expects more from work, and they expect more experiences, more opportunities, career pathways, the opportunity to be mobile throughout, you know, an organization. They expect their employer to be a social enterprise. In other words, just as concerned about the social responsibility in their communities that they're providing services or products to as they do. And in order to support the business, we, HR, have got to become a strategic lever. We've really got to transform from that administrative transactional function to one that's pretty much focused entirely on developing and executing human capital strategies. So it's, again, moving from the compliance and control, from the HR-centric, to really collaborating with the business to design and create those engaging experiences along a team member's life cycle. And we can't continue to be reactive in our service delivery model. We've got to be more agile and continuously building capability.
Yeah, and those are really great points, Karen. I would add to that regarding hiring. Our team members are really recognizing that they have increased bargaining power. The job market is highly transparent, and we have to be continuously on top of our game to hire the most skilled, most qualified workers. You can look up any company, or individuals for that matter, on Glassdoor, Fairy Godboss, Indeed, Career Bliss sites, and read about their experiences in the very same way we read reviews on TripAdvisor for places we want to go vacation. And so companies, including Novant Health, are investing in analytics tools to find out why people stay and why they leave. And in fact, we're currently creating a predictive data model that understands workforce attributes, such as, an example, your hours worked, the amount of paid time off you've taken, the shift that you work, so that we can predict when turnover is going to occur and where it's going to occur. And in addition, we also conducted an RN supply and demand study very recently that found in our service geographies, we have 0.8 RNs working as RNs for every open RN job. And in fact, we validated that study by using our own applicant database against the number of jobs that we're recruiting for and found 0.9, so very similar. So what that tells you is there's a dearth of qualified RN talent, which is a critical part of our business to deliver on our mission, out there in the labor market.
Thank you. Let me ask you a follow-up question, and just maybe 30 seconds each on this. Is hiring done more and talent retention done more online today, or is it still very personal and labor intensive? So you got an organization as big as yours, 30,000 employees. How much of the hiring is done through digital intake, digital everything, versus personal interviews, personal discussions? Is it still very, very labor intensive?
It's that balance that's so hard to achieve, because with the technology and with trying to be more efficient, hire faster, yes, it's online. We put in a state-of-the-art applicant tracking system, candidate relationship management system ourselves, which candidates can interact with that system and see where their application is at for any jobs, and some people apply for multiple jobs. Where are they? You know, what's the status of my application there? But I can tell you there's still a desire for some type of touch in some way, whether that's a phone call, whether that's an email, et cetera. So it's balancing that. Plus, I'll say that hiring is not just an HR function anymore. It is a team sport. And when I say team sport, that means it is a collaborative process or effort of both our recruiters as well as the hiring leaders, because the talent coming in today wants to know what's on the other side of HR before they'll make a decision as to whether that's an employer they want to work for. Do you have anything to add?
No, that's exactly right. And just so that you know, Scott, we hire about 6,000 team members a year. So having a digitized applicant tracking, onboarding, talent sourcing experience is critical for us to attract and retain the talent. But like Karen said, individuals still want to connect. They want to talk about organization. They want you to sell the organization. Because again, like I mentioned earlier, they have increased bargaining power, and they can pick and choose where they go to work.
Let me ask you a question about the increased bargaining power. Certain organizations seem to put their applicants through all kinds of drills today. In the consulting world, the banking world, it might be the applicant has to do a case study, has to do this, has to do that. And it seems like if the bargaining power is with the employer, you could put the applicant through all those kinds of traps before you hire them. You hire 6,000 people a year. I mean, it feels like it must almost be a tidal wave to try and keep up with that. Does that make it harder to put people through different types of tests pre-hiring when you're trying to hire that many people for that many spots? How does that work?
Yeah, so it is definitely a challenge. We try to be as agile as possible in the hiring process, because if you put individuals through a lot of, you know, let's present your best business case on this topic and so on and so forth, it extends the amount of time that they're in queue. Meanwhile, those same individuals have put in applications at 10 other organizations and have gotten calls back. And in fact, a lot of organizations are making same day offers, pending, of course, a background check. And so what we've implemented as part of our talent acquisition optimization is a talent online assessment that every single applicant must take. It takes about 15 minutes or so to take the assessment. And it really assesses for culture fit. So you have to pass that and do well, not necessarily to be hired, but it weighs significantly in the ultimate hiring decision, and that's digital as well. So what we're trying to do is, even with the assessment, 98% of the candidates still say that our application is easy to complete. And that's what we want. We want to grab them, bring them in, get them in queue, and then very quickly assess and make those hiring decisions. As Karen said, it's a team sport. So the hiring manager must also be engaged in quickly making decisions, because we'll lose them. And in fact, we do lose some applicants because we're not fast enough, even with all these improvements in the hiring process.
No. That was really the question. Thank you. Let me ask you another question, Vaso and Karen. Is there a core overriding talent philosophy or hiring philosophy? I understand very well what you're just talking about. Look, we'd like to put them through 30 traps, but if we put them through 30 traps, they'll already have taken 16 other jobs, so we better be able to make decisions pretty quickly and pretty intelligently. Is there beyond that? So you have to hit the right mix of speed and agility to hire people and hire them well. Do you have a core theory on talent, a core philosophy?
We do, Scott. In fact, you've got to have that aligned talent mindset at the top of your organization in order to have a shared talent philosophy where every leader and team member understands exactly what it takes to succeed in the organization. So, of course, the first thing is hiring them in, but then it's about how are you going to manage your talent to develop and retain them. And so we do have a talent philosophy. In 2018, I worked with our Novant Health executive team to architect our NH talent philosophy, NH meaning Novant Health, and began designing some key talent management practices to align with that philosophy. And what it does, it ensures that we've got that disciplined approach to how we make talent decisions. And it also helps create that culture of accountability for building talent at all levels of our organization. Otherwise, you're going to sub-optimize your ability to grow talent if you don't have this aligned shared talent philosophy.
Thank you. And let me ask you a follow-up question. It's, you have, I forget how many hospitals, but you're in four different states. You've got tons of ambulatory clinics and centers. You've got a great number of hospitals. How decentralized or centralized is hiring? So if somebody's hiring in two states away, is it the same process throughout the system? Does the same team touch those people? I know it's a team sport, so it's got to involve people, those local institutions as well. But how centralized or decentralized is hiring today?
Yeah, so our recruiters, and I'll let Vaso jump in on this in a second, but it doesn't matter where they are. They could be sitting in the middle of the country, and hiring for nurses at our tertiary care facility in Charlotte. And so it's because of the technology that we're able to do that. So we have them spread out in primarily a couple different places in North Carolina, some in Virginia, and they may be hiring, for example, the person who is a recruiter in Virginia could actually be hiring for talent in our medical center in Winston-Salem.
Got it. Thank you. And then another question. Let's say the recruiter in Virginia is hiring somebody in Winston-Salem. How do they deal with that personal touch that goes with the technology touch to make sure somebody meets the team, feels the team, et cetera, et cetera? And does it differ by position?
It may differ by position. It really depends on the various folks on the hiring end. Sometimes there'll be a leadership team that really wants to talk to certain professional level positions. The RNs, we have multiple ways for them to get in, and there's ways for them to talk to virtually, to talk to our chief clinical officer, for example. We also have our senior vice president of nursing who will do live chats with registered
Thank
nurses
you.
Coming to our organization.
Sorry. We also, if I could add just one thing, Scott, we also do open interview days. Where we invite nurses from all over to come in and meet directly with hiring managers in on-site, right, face-to-face, and then quickly expedite decisions. And so that's a way to really create the connection, get to know Novant Health, get to know the applicants, and it's been hugely successful for us.
Let me go to that for a second. In this time of sort of shortages of staff, shortages of nurses, pretty good low unemployment, what are some of the two or three key improvements that you've made over the last few years that you particularly point to and are proud of that's improved your hiring processes?
Well, I can tell you the technology itself that I mentioned earlier has been a huge game changer. The transparency of that system, again, for the, you know, there are no secrets. So everyone can see what the recruiter is doing, where they're at with any particular position and however many applicants. They can see what the hiring manager is doing. The applicant can go in and see at any given point in time. So again, it's very transparent. I think balancing that with the touch, the live chats, the connection points that we've created, I've also just mentioned the open interview days. Again, I believe the balance of all of that is what has helped us. And it can also accelerate the hiring. So if you've got, for example, even on those face-to-face days where there's a lot of interaction, they can go right there to a laptop and put their application in, actually speak with a nursing leader, and potentially get an offer before they ever walk out the door.
Oh, fantastic. And obviously candidates love that. It takes away so much of the stress and anxiety of waiting to hear what the system's going to do and whether the job's available and so forth and so on. Another question, what improvements, how do you see this different, you know, 3 to 5 years from now? What changes do you see coming?
Well, the talent, there's still a dearth of talent in many careers and opportunities. I can tell you just specific to nursing, and this is a pretty scary one, in looking at the most recent Mercer study, and this is a 5-year projection, North Carolina is projected to be one of the top 5 states to have the biggest deficit of registered nurses. 40,000 short by 2025 to be exact. I actually joked and said, I think I'll retire before then, but honestly, I won't, because I'm darned and determined for us to solve that problem for ourselves. So healthcare has to solve those problems. No one's going to solve it for us. And so we're actually forming relationships with universities and nursing schools in areas where there are projected to be a surplus.
Thank you. And so, I mean, that's part of why there's such a generation of development of these nursing schools, is because of these potential shortages.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's our pipeline. We've got to get the infrastructure. Actually, we have to start in middle school and high school to get the interest and then get the infrastructure right. Do we have enough instructors? Do we have enough seats? Do we have enough of a graduating class? I mean, it is a big, challenging situation that requires a lot of very creative interventions and partnerships.
Yeah, Scott, we are arm in arm with our clinical executive leadership. We work with them constantly. In 2016, we did a multi-year strategic workforce plan to really look at how do we create more pipelines, how do we open up more pathways, more experiences, how do we create mobility, because the RNs of some generations, they want to just stay and stay right in that unit. And then I can tell you that others, the new grads coming in, really don't want to stay in any one place for very long. So they want the opportunity to come in, learn an area, and go move to another one. And so those are some of the things that we're working on closely with our nursing leadership.
You know, another question that goes to that with younger graduates, so much I hear interest in sort of the traveling nurses. All of a sudden, I hear lots of young people interested in being traveling nurses for a period of time earlier in their career. Is that a real thing? Is that a real trend? Or is that something that just anecdotally I've seen from a few people?
It's a real thing. Traveling is not for everybody, though. So it's not as quite as prevalent as some articles would have you believe it is, but it's prevalent enough. We even use those. There's a time and a place to use traveling nurses. One of the other things that we have done is Vaso and I actually back in 2013 and 2014 designed and stood up a central staffing and scheduling office that has now over 400
nurses
and certified nursing assistants employed, and then we're able to deploy them out where the needs are across our hospitals. And so that's been a big deal for us. The other thing is really expanding our residency program. When you have 800 or 900 new grad nurses applying to your organizations, then you have to work out a residency program where you can take as many of those as you can take and want to take. And so obviously we're wanting to pick the best of the best, but that's quite a few out of 900 folks. And so we've scaled our residency program up. We actually doubled how many new grads we are taking into our system in 1 year, and we will continue scaling that up. So that's another I think game changer for us.
That's right.
And fantastic. And another question, are there certain states or hospitals that are harder to hire for than others based on geography, based on those kinds of things? And how do you deal with that?
There's really a challenge, in my opinion, everywhere. And here's why. Because in the days of old, your only competitors were other hospitals. Now you're competing with CVS's, you're competing with the Walmarts, you're competing with a lot of other insurance companies that use nurses to audit files and so forth. There's just a lot of expanded demand for the same limited supply. So I can't think of a geography where we don't have the challenges. Karen, can you?
I think sometimes in more of the rural areas, smaller communities, unless that's what you're really looking for in terms of where you want to be, and that's a place where you want to raise your family, et cetera. I think it is harder to sometimes get folks there, but that's all about your community and partnering with your community. And it's also about walking the talk when it comes to your brand and creating that differentiating team member experience so that it's somewhere they want to work and also live.
Well, thank you very much, Karen Vaso. Just tremendously informative and helpful, and gives a real sense of sort of the movement of hiring, the challenges of hiring, and what's going on with the whole entire talent world, which is so much of everything. It's amazing that you're hiring 6,000 people a year, and what a big job. But thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it greatly.
Thank you, Scott. We enjoyed it. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you very much, Scott.